Represents the interests and visions of our members. More information and meeting times can be found at kboo.fm/boardrecruiting. One word. Thank you for considering board service for KBOO Community Radio.
You're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. The time is 9:02 a.m. Next up is Veterans Voice.
Bound to lose. trains and bikes, gonna show them fascists. We won't compromise in Washington, we'll shut you fascists down. Standing with our neighbors, union at our side, in the streets we're coming. Million people, why tear down that wall? You fascists bound to fall. Will bring you down, you fascists bound to lose. All you fascists bound to lose. All you fascists bound to lose. All you fascists bound to lose. You're bound to lose, you fascists bound to lose.
Portland colleague, sisters and brothers, welcome to Veterans Voice Radio Show on KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland, 104.3 FM in Corvallis, 91.9 FM Hood River, or on the World Wide Web at KBOO.FM. I'm Marvin, and Ty is my engineer. I want to say hello to some friends, Gary and Darla, my Army buddy in Nebraska. Kathy over by Hillsboro at Aloha, which I've known for 35 years. And Mitty and her grandchildren. And Jim in Gresham. And Jim and I text about every day about something going on in the world. And it's always good to have people who think like you do. It was a pretty bad week or so because, you know, two good peace activists, one a veteran and then another one, a veteran of, not a military veteran, but a veteran of peace, and Dan Handelman. I've known Dan Handelman for 35 years. And when I heard that Dan had died, it really, really took me by surprise because Dan was only 60 years old. And he, you know, he does Cop Watch and it used to be Peace and Justice Works, but I don't remember what it's called now. But, yeah, it was really a big surprise when I found out that Dan had died. And another veteran, a military veteran, passed, and Malcolm Chadwick's passed away in his sleep. I've known Malcolm probably 25 years or so. You know, he participated in a lot of good actions here in Portland. One time I think all of us veterans were protesting the war in Iraq, the unjust war in Iraq, the filthy war in Iraq that slaughtered so many innocent people. But we had put together a lot of caskets draped with American flags, and we took them to different places, and Malcolm was with us. We took it all the way down. We took them all the way down to Ashland at Southern Oregon University, and we put them on display there. And Mike Hastie, another good friend, veteran, he put his photographs up. Mike has a great photograph essay. It's just really amazing, all the photographs Mike has taken. And but Malcolm got to be my roommate on that trip, so I learned a lot about Malcolm when we did that. We did the trip on that, and he participated, you know, along with the rest of us. Just hearing, you know, knowing those guys and knowing they left us so early. I went to Malcolm's memorial. There's quite a few folks at the memorial. And it was good to see some of the vets I hadn't seen in a while, and to meet some other people that I'd seen around, but I didn't know their names, or, but you know, I was standing back a little ways, and who was I with? John Grushow, maybe, and I looked over and I saw all those gray-haired people, you know. And a few young people, but mostly, you know, older people. And I thought, geez, you know, how long have we been doing this? And, you know, young people are just stepping up. You know, you have to take a stand. You have to take a stand against what's going on right now. But a stand against all injustice. But right now, you know, it's important that we take a stand and we don't back down from what's going on in this country. We just can't, you know, not do something. April 5th, a hands-off rallies across the nation were very good turnouts. I mean, I went to two of them. I didn't come to Portland because I wanted to stay out around the communities around where I live. And I went to one in North Plains, and it was really, Suzanne and my friend Heidi worked on that together. And there was a really good turnout for a little town like that. I took my neighbor Ellen with me, because her husband David and her son Will weren't able to make it, so she came with me, and I took her and we, you know, and Kathy, the one from Aloha, Kathy was there with us. Heidi and Susan had made these great signs. You know, one was "Hands Off Veterans Issues." But there was other ones, you know, for other things happening. We got, you know, it was kind of interesting. We got a lot of honks and thumbs up, but every now and then someone would come by and not be so friendly. But, you know, that's going to happen. It's going to happen, you know. But just blow it off and move on. And after that was over, I went to Forest Grove to their hands-off rally, and it was really a good one too. A lot of people showed up, a lot of people. And if you've ever been to Forest Grove, They have this big, tall flagpole. They have this huge American flag flying on it, you know? And I remember when they put that up, my late wife, Laurel, she says, boy, they don't need that. You know, why are they putting that big thing up there? But that's where the rally was. And it was really a good turnout. I met a lot of good people. I met a few veterans. And that's always good to see that the veterans are standing up and making a stand. And my brother lives down in Yahats. Yahats is south of Newport on the coast, south of Newport and north of Florence. And he said they had, for being such a little town, he said they had a really good crowd because it was Yahats and Walport together. And my brother Dick said that it was a very good turnout, especially being a little town of mostly retirees, but a lot of other people there, you know. That's where I go to Yahats when I have to calm myself down, and that's where I go. But we have to, you know, with such a huge crowds all over this country, we're doing it in all the states, even the deep south, there were rallies. The deep south, you know, Alabama and Georgia, Florida, even those states had really good turnouts. And I was, my brother sent me a text a few days ago, and he said, there's supposed to be more hands-off rallies on April 19th. And I hadn't heard of that. So I looked it up. And there are some, you know, it's going to be some rallies. But I don't think there's one in Portland. I'm not sure. But I couldn't see one. And, you know, we have to keep the momentum going. There has to be something going on constantly to show our dissatisfaction with what they're doing. They're taking our brothers and sisters off the streets. These ICE or whatever they are, you know, are wearing dark masks, and they're getting these folks and taking them right off the streets. That makes me think of what happened down here during our rallies in support of George Floyd, where they were grabbing folks and throwing them into vans. You know, that happened to a citizen, a citizen, and what they're doing now is to our sisters and brothers who are in this country learning education, or they've come to this country working on becoming a citizen, and they're arresting them, put them in ICE detention centers, and even worse than that, they're taking all these folks who supposedly have gang affiliations or whatever, and they're sending them to a foreign jail in El Salvador without giving their due right under the Constitution that we have in this country. Everybody that is in this country has the same rights, no matter if they're born here or not. The 14th Amendment to the Constitution. And they're just slapping it. They're just slapping that out of the way. And they're taking these... That prison down in El Salvador is such a horrible place. I looked it up to see what was going on, what it was like. And it's horrible. And they're putting these folks from the United States without even a trial, without even being able to talk to an attorney. If that's not fascist, that's building up to be fascism. That's for darn sure. You know, I could just imagine these freaks in the White House and whatever, sitting there with a constitution in front of them with a pair of scissors and just cutting out the things they don't like. The things they don't like, they just don't deal with it. And that's a real problem to me and my friends when they do that. People with green cards, they're just, you know what? The one thing that really, I mean, this whole thing with Trump and this, you know, they want a fascist state. They want an authoritarian state. They don't want a democracy. Stephen Miller has been a racist since he was a kid in his high school days. When they can take a person who has a green card and is legally in this state, in this country, and maybe they had got a drunk driving or something like that, and they can just come and rip them out of their family and send them to El Salvador. Sometimes the parents don't even know what happened to their child. Don't know where he is, or, you know, they have no idea where they are. And that's not the only thing that this regime is doing right now. They're cutting funding for really important things. Healthcare, just all kinds of things. They're just getting rid of them. I heard today, my friend Kathy from Aloha again, she sent me the text and saying that Secretary of State Rubio is saying if Russia and Ukraine don't come up with some good things to end this war, that the U.S. is just done. They're done. They're not going to be a part of this. But they still sending them bombs. They're still sending them weapons. They're still sending them intelligence. You know they're sending them intelligent. It's just and they're going to tell them that, you know, we're done. We're done. Oh, yeah. That's just the craziest thing I ever heard. And it seems another thing that really gets to me is our sisters and brothers in Gaza. We can never forget what's happening to our sisters and our brothers in Gaza. It is just, are being slaughtered and killed, the same thing, you know. But, and we're sending them huge amounts of war materials and intelligence. And Israel is breaking laws also. They want the land of Gaza. They want Palestinian land. That's what they want. It doesn't matter to them how many innocent Palestinians have to die to get that land. To them, that land was promised to them, you know, promised to them. I guess they, well, then my land is promised to me, and I'm not going to pay property taxes on it anymore. Let's see how far I get away with that. And the children that have been killed in Gaza, it's just unbelievable how many have been killed. I think that every day, and it just breaks my heart to think how many of those children are never going to see another bright, sunny day. They're not going to be able to hold their mama or their dad or their brothers or their sisters or their grandparents or their playmates. They're not going to get to do that. How many of those children have been crippled? They're never going to be able to play in the playground or play any other games with their friends. That's just, you know, the United States is going to back Israel no matter what. No matter what. Israel has been trying to get the United States to attack Iran. They've been trying to do that. They want that to happen. They have no feelings for the people of Iran. There was a deal on the of Iran with their nuclear program. And it was going good. I mean, they were, UN inspectors were in there, the whole thing. And if I remember right, Ty, if I remember right, I think the first Trump regime, when he was in office the first time, backed out of that deal. I'm pretty sure that's what happened. Not perfect, but I think that's what happened, buddy. So what are they complaining about? You know, they had the deal, but they backed out of the deal. There's so much that this guy in the White House is doing. It's just not him. It's all the cronies around him. Let's tell him to do all this stuff. The tariffs. These tariffs are just one of the stupidest things, I think, that he's done a lot of stupid things. Here's a guy running this country, has had how many bankruptcy and businesses before. He's trying to bankrupt our country now, like he banked up all those businesses he had. He bankrupt a gambling casino, of all things. He bankrupt a gambling casino. That's, oh man. I want to get back just a second here for the April 5th hands off. You know, what he can do now, what he can say now is that that was just a one-time thing. You know, people were mad for just this one thing, you know, a million people in the streets. But now, you know, the 19th, there's not going to be that many, you know, him and his pals are going to say, you know, it wasn't such a big deal after all. Because a million people weren't in the streets again. That's why we have to take a stand. We have to do things constantly to let this guy know. Not only him, but his Republican pals in the Senate or in the House of Representatives. We're very lucky we have two good senators. Fairly, you know, they're politicians, but, you know, Jeff Berkley especially, he's really taken a stand. He's out there. And Ron Wyden is too, but not as, I don't think as much as Jeff Merkley. Jeff Merkley grew up in the same town I was born in Myrtle Creek, down south of Roseburg. But I can see having a rally at a state capitol. I can see it if what you're rallying against is a state matter. State matter. It's a state matter. But like what's going on now, it's time to protest, march, whatever is decided at federal buildings. Like downtown, like we did for the murder of George Floyd. Every night people were down there. Mothers, veterans, students, workers, everybody that had a heart was down there. There were younger people, older people, middle-aged people, professional workers, laborers, medical people. There were so many people down there, and it didn't get violent until they brought the feds in. That's when things got rotten. It's when they brought the federal whatever the troops they were. That's when things really got out of hand, because they started attacking simple, everyday, caring protests, folks. Like I said before, that's when they started unmarked vans, people in plain clothes, taking people off the streets. That's what they did in Nazi Germany. That's what they did in the Soviet Union. Any totalitarian state that happens in, and then it happens in our country. It's happening right now to people that are in our, that come to be educated in our schools. That's what they're doing right now. And that is unacceptable. Ty, you want to play the other song for me now, buddy? It's a pretty good song.
Who's gonna care for the ones who care for the ones who went to war? There's landmines in the living room and eggshells on the floor. I lost myself in the shadow of your honor and your pain. You stare out our dreams go down the drain. me and smile. Say I'm lucky, you're okay.
That's a very good song. There was a couple songs I was thinking about using. One was by Bob Marley and the Wailers was Get Up, Stand Up, you know, about taking a stand on what you believe in. And the other one was Bella Chow. And Bella Chow is used in World War II. Too Italian. It's an Italian anti-fascist song that was used in fight against the Nazis and Mussolini and his fascists. And I was thinking about using that one. It's a really good. Both of those songs are really good. Bob Marley. He's flat out says that, you know, you have to take a stand. You cannot be a viewer and watch what's going on in this country right now. You have to participate in what's going on in this country right now, because it's not what this country was built on. What's happening right now is taking away all those rights that we have in that piece of paper called the Constitution. And like I said before, they know they're wrong, but they do it anyway, and then it has to be that it's taken to court, and usually they lose, or they just ignore it. And they just keep on doing it, whatever it was, taking people off the streets, taking people with green cards that have worked here for a long, long time, paying taxes, you know. Also, what was it that they came up with? Self-deport yourself. Self-deport yourself. And now they're also thinking, you know, maybe they could take the freedom of speech people and get rid of them somehow. Get rid of us. That's us, you folks. That's us. That's every one of us out in the streets. That's us. Freedom of speech. That's us. And they want to get rid of that. They want to get rid of the freedom of speech. That's a really touchy subject with me, freedom of speech. That's a basic right. Even if you're on a green card, even if you're not on a green card and you're here, you have the same rights under the Constitution as somebody that was born here. Under the 14th Amendment to the Constitution, you know, if you're born here, you have every right. Every right. And for them to try to get rid of the 14th Amendment to the Constitution is nothing less than traitorous. That's being a traitor to the Constitution. You know, I've said on this show for many, many years that I don't have a problem with my brothers that didn't go to Vietnam, you know, that had, you know, reasons why they really had medical problems that they couldn't go. At one time, married men didn't have to go. And then it was married men with children didn't have to go. Or I have so much respect for folks who took that stand and said, you know, that war in Vietnam is immoral. And they went to Canada or some other place. But I do have a problem with guys that didn't go to Vietnam when they had the chance, but are now sending other people to war. I have a real problem with that. A real problem. You know, there are medical deferments that made no sense to me. You know, one was heel spurs. That was a tough one. If you got that one, that, you know, all the, you know, they could be taken care of, and they could have had a pair of boots on and be on the ground in Vietnam with the rest of us. You know, but no. Our orange friend in the White House, he wasn't going to do that. He wasn't going to be boots on the ground in Vietnam. You know, we don't, but the general public doesn't know where troops are being sent to. You know, sent to Africa. Sent to Central and South America. The Americans don't know where these troops are or why they're there. They don't know. You know, there's a way that they can hide the deaths of a soldier. There's so many things that they can do. Military, high-ranking military generals and admirals and whatever, they get moved in and out of things like the CIA and NSA and different things like that, you know, different things. So there, you know, the connection between upper ranks of the military working with agencies of the federal government is happening every day. Every day. I doubt if there's a country in the world that doesn't have a CIA operative in it. I'm pretty sure there's not. And I'm pretty sure the National Security Agency, the biggest listening organization in the world, doesn't know what's going on. They listen to everything, folks, everything. They know what's happening around the world. They know exactly by interception of different things. And this guy, such a security, you know, he supports the military, but he's been firing the leadership of captains on ships, female high-ranking military have been fired from jobs. He talks of he's cutting so deep that it would be hard to build this back up when he's finally out of the picture. He's firing people that have important jobs. I can't sit here and explain how many agencies have lost personnel that they need to keep going. He's trying to gut the whole government. The whole government. And when this these tariffs happened, the stock market went down. You know, people say, I don't have stocks, but it affects you also, because if you have a retirement or whatever, a lot of that money is in stocks and bonds. So, but if you don't have a retirement plan and all this, if you're just trying to make it in the world, just trying to stay alive, trying to feed your children, the elderly, trying to have health care and have enough food to take care of themselves, because these tariffs affects everything. And when the stock market went down really far, and then he says he's stopping the tariffs, but you know, that wasn't true either. Some of those tariffs still were like 10% tariffs. But what happened when he did that, all those stocks were at a bargain basement prices, and these rich people just bought them at the low price. He had these rich people in the White House saying, you know, how much money they had made. And that's your money, pal. That's our money. That's my aunt's and uncle's money. That's my brother-in-law's money. That's working class money. That's union workers' money. And they bought that up for a little bit of... And people voted for this guy. And all the damage he's doing. All the damage he's doing. I didn't get to last show. I didn't get to finish off about Milai. And Milai was a massacre of a village in Vietnam in 1968. I didn't get to finish up on what I was talking about. Wars are just hard to deal with. If you've ever been in a war, you know what I'm talking about. How horrible it was. How many civilians, you know, over 90% of all casualties in a war are civilians. You know, people used to say, I don't know how many years ago, that civilians were off limits, you know, but it's never really been like that. All you have to do is look at Palestinians right now, or look in Sudan, what's happened in Sudan, where people are starving to death because two different factions in their government wants to be the big boss, and they're fighting that out. They're fighting it out. Who's paying the price, you know? Little children, elderly, disabled people are doing that, So, but to get back to Milai, 504 innocent civilians died from the age of a few months, a year, up to their 80, I believe. If Mike was here, he would know for sure. But I don't have time again. I wanted to read some of the things that the soldiers said. You know, nobody was prosecuted for that war. Only one guy, and that was Callie, who was a first lieutenant, you know. And from what I read, he shouldn't have been a lieutenant because he was very bad leadership skill, that, you know. But at that time in 68, they needed bodies in Vietnam. And that's why the draft was going hot and heavy at that time. But 504 people were slaughtered on that in March 16th, 1968. And I want to try and... Oh, one of the things also is that this is, you know... It's hard for people to listen, but it has to be said that in war, rape is a weapon. The use of rape to innocent women in a war is a weapon. Don't let anybody ever tell you that's not true, because it is. When Milai happened, the American people could not believe that American soldiers would do that, that they would be involved in rape of innocent women. I'm going to read something about the Milai massacre. Get this. According to the Pierce Commission investigation, the United States government allocated commission for inquiry into the incident concluded at least 20 Vietnamese women and girls were raped during the My Lai massacre. Since there had been little research over the case other than that of the Peers Commission, which solely accounts the cases which implicate rape signs that of torn clothes and nudity, the actual number of rapes is not easy to estimate. According to the reports, the rape victims range between the ages of 10 and 45, while nine under 18. The sexual assaults included gang rapes and sexual torture. No U.S. serviceman was charged with rape, according to an eyewitness, as reported to Seymour Hersh in his book on the massacre. Women were raped after their children were killed by the U.S. soldiers. Another Vietnamese villager also noticed soldiers raped a 13-year-old girl. And none of them were prosecuted for that. None of them. It's not just the U.S., does it? Other militaries do it also. But when Americans, our boys would never do anything like that. Yeah, they do. And I'm pretty sure that the count of 20 rapes is way low about what happened on that day. Way low. When you have a 18, 19, 20-year-old kid with a fully automatic weapon, hand grenades, claymore mines, what, 20 magazines of M16 weapon rounds, and has the power to do whatever they want, things are going to happen. And they did. My Lai wasn't the only one, folks. The village of My Lai, things like that happened that whole war. The whole war. And why we were in Vietnam in the first place was completely horrible. Vietnam would have had the national election, I think it was in 1955. Ho Chi Minh, the leader of North Vietnam, would have won that election. But the U.S. said, you're not going to have an election. So 20 years of war. 20 years of what happened at My Lai. Every day there were flag-draped coffins coming into this country from Vietnam. An undeclared war. An undeclared war. Well, we'll be back on May 16th at 9 a.m. And there it is. Thanks for listening, friends. We got to stand up. We have to stand up. Thanks, Ty. You think they're going to come and get me, Ty?
Shells on the floor. I lost myself in the shadow of your honor and your pain. You stare out of the window as our dreams go down the drain.
You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. The time is 10 a.m.
You are tuned into KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming on the web at kboo.fm.
Talking about the environment and climate change really hits home with many people. Tune into KBOO on April 22nd at 6 p.m. for Four Walls, Four